السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ ونشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى صدق الله العظيم علماء کرام respected brothers sisters listening over receivers over the past 2-3 Sundays we have been answering questions with regards to nikah talaq buying selling zakat and other issues But today, as you have noticed on the board, is Islahi questions. Sometimes we worry about many, many things that are happening around the world and we ask many questions which are not relevant to us. And sometimes we ask relevant questions but we have no intention of making amal on it. And the reason for that is that there is a deficiency in our Islah. When the heart is not receptive, then you can read the whole Quran Sharif and there will be no effect. If it is receptive, then just one nasihat is sufficient. So those who ask questions about Islah, then it shows that they are really interested in making the heart receptive to that which is in the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Because if the heart comes right, then everything comes right. So in today's majlis, we are going to discuss one or two issues. We don't have very much time. But something that is very, very common, and this is what we should be really discussing, things which are affecting every person in our society or the majority of the Muslims of our society, and especially the youth. We keep talking about the youth. But it's not only the youth. We know that it is old people, young people, everybody seems to be caught up in this vicious cycle. Very, very vicious the environment is. I keep saying that if it is not the snake, then the scorpion. Recently, the scorpions are biting quite a bit and stinging quite a bit. So if it's not the snake, then it will be the scorpion. If it's not the scorpion, it will be the lion. If it's not the lion, it will be the tiger or cheetah. Or the crocodile will have its mouth wide open. But everywhere there is somebody out to harm, to bite, to sting. That is what the society is all about. And that is not always in the form of animals. It is our television, our media, our cell phones, our newspapers, our magazines. All these are those snakes, those scorpions, those lions and those tigers. So now, there being a lot of lions and tigers and cheetahs in the Kruger National Park, so it does not mean that you cannot go there and see the park. But what would we do? We'll close our windows tight. In the car, when they say that you must have your windows tightly closed because there are lions roaming around here, so then that's what we do. We make sure that the windows are tightly closed. And if a person says to the other passengers of the car, that what are you all scared of these lions? I will keep my window wide open. If you want to sit, you sit. And then he even opens the door and stands outside to have a good look where they have said that a lot of lions are roaming around. So they will say, well, if you want to become the samosa of the lion, good luck to you. Lion probably didn't have breakfast today and wants to start with starters. So the starters is samosa, so you can become a lukma of the lion. But I have to be very careful. So you rather go somewhere else, I will sit in another car, but we will keep our windows tightly closed. This is what it means, that we are living in this world. Now we can't close ourselves up in one room or one house and say, now I will never come outside, my children will never go to school, my children will never go and play with any neighbor's child or anything like that. It's a vicious world. And we can't shut ourselves up. We've got our business houses, we've got our professions, we got everything that is happening outside. We have to go to the masjid. Bring, what's the number? What's the number? If somebody wants to come out, just move this car. 2466ND 256448 and 286GP 12476. Just make it easy for him to come out, please. 2466, 256448, 288GP and 12476ND. So we cannot shut ourselves out from society. We have to live in society. And this is something that I've been always saying. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is that beautiful couplet, Zamana humko badal sake, ye zamane mein dam nahi. Zamana khud hum se hai, hum zamane se nahi. We should be the ones that change the zamana. We should be the people that change the environment. We should be the people that should be leading and not the followers, not imitating and emulating and aping. We should be the people that should be giving guidance and help. So there are lots of issues that affect every person in his life, and at present one of the major problems is evil glancing, fantasizing. And I'm getting letters, believe me, from different parts of the world. Those who are in this type of bad habit, they are really, really suffering. Some of them sometimes say that I rather commit suicide, but I can't take the pressure that is on me now. It's making my life very, very restless. And good people, and people from good professions, and people who are learned and educated, everybody seems to be suffering. And the reason is this, that same problem of too much of television viewing, or porn sites on the internet, or reading filthy magazines and novels. So just as that person has to keep his window very, very tight when there's lions and tigers roaming around, so like that, we will be going into the society, we will be going into the bazaars, marketplaces, professions, but we have to make sure that we keep our ears and our eyes and our tongues safe from the attacks of all these vicious animals that are around. We won't say it is impossible. It could be difficult, that is a different issue, but it's not impossible. We say in a business house, how do we then operate business? If the manager and the boss and everybody is going to lower his gaze, there will be nothing left there in the shop. Everything will be wiped out. So at such a time, definitely the person is going to look around. But when he's looking around must be like that person who is driving on a decline. The road is going, there's a steep decline, steep downhill. And the person is driving. And there's a bus in front of him, there's a truck behind him. And there is Miss World standing on the pavement. And one slip, either he hits into the bus or the truck hits into him. So now he will be driving, he will be looking. Now he saw that there are some women that are standing there and all that. But he won't turn his head like that and start opening his eyes wide and looking. Otherwise he'll reach the Qabristan. So this person will drive carefully. You are seeing, but you're not seeing. Wo dekhta hai, lekin nahi dekhta hai. It will be like that. And it is not impossible. Allah Ta'ala hasn't made anything farz upon us that is impossible. Could be a little difficulty on the nafs. But then, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَعْوَىٰ. That person who feared standing before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala on the day of judgment, accounting for his deeds, then Jannat is his abode. So these type of letters or questions we get frequently. So instead of taking some new questions, something that is very common and frequently repeated, so I've got a kind of a standard reply now. And in the light of that, a person can make his islah, if he is really interested. If he is not interested, then you can give the whole world of nasihat, nothing will happen. So one of the brothers wrote, it was a lengthy question, but from the reply you will gauge what the question was. Acknowledging one's weakness is half the battle won. In this path of suluk, acknowledging one's weakness, that is half the battle that you have won. Because nafs does not want to acknowledge its weakness. The nafs does not like to acknowledge its weakness. Nafs wants to look for justification. If a person says that you did this wrong, then we will say, but you did that wrong. If the person has to tell us that, see, in your life, this what you are doing is wrong, it's haram. So instead of thanking the person and say, Jazakallah for informing me of my weakness, and make dua, Allah Ta'ala give me the himmat to give up this weakness of my life, we will read out a list of all the wrongs that we see in him. That is our state of heart. That we will straight away read out the list of wrongs that we see in him. But what about you? You look at your beard is shaven, look at this is wrong, look at that is wrong, look at that is wrong. Whereas, that what he is doing is wrong, is also wrong. But what we are doing wrong, we must not justify it because he is doing something wrong. Because the other person is doing something wrong, so that does not give us a license to do wrong. Just because somebody is committing crime, somebody is committing rape, somebody is looting, somebody is burning, somebody is hijacking, somebody is killing. So now does that give anybody the license that because all these people are doing all these things, so what does it matter if I do some other sin which is much less than that? It's not permissible. Anybody will understand that that is justification of a sin. What we must say that yes, what the person is doing, that is wrong. Allah Ta'ala give him hidayat, make dua, give him some nasihat. But at that occasion to straight away say, well, what about you? You are doing this, you are doing that. So that's why I say that acknowledging one's weakness is half the battle won. Already the person has taken a giant leap towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala when he acknowledges his weakness. He agrees that indeed what I am doing is wrong. After that it is a question of now making islah of whatever is wrong. Being ashamed of one's sin is a sign of iman. Now the person wrote, I feel ashamed of the sins that I am committing. So if he's feeling ashamed, that's a sign of iman. Therefore, when a person, for the purposes of islah and reformation, when he says that I am engaging in this sin or that vice, it's not a kind of enjoyment that the person gets in that. And it should not be done for enjoyment. We say that Quran Sharif and Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wants us to conceal our sins and not to advertise and brag about it. Now that is a totally different issue where the person is going to the newspapers, they come to a certain clubhouse, or he knows that they are going to be photographed there, the newspapers will carry those pictures. The person is in the casino, in the disco, in open areas where the person can be videoed and photographed. And in these days of cameras and cell phone cameras and computers and everything else, we know how easy it is to be filmed and to be caught on camera. So now if the person is unashamed and he is going around doing the things openly, so then it is a different issue if somebody has to talk about his sins. But like that, a person should not brag about his own sins or not advertise it. Or amongst the friends also, the person must not start talking about what he saw last night and how he enjoyed that film and how he enjoyed that show and how he enjoyed that dance and how he enjoyed the disco and rave club. Those things Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala detests and dislikes. But if a person is going to his mentor, he's going to his shaykh, he's going to some alim, he's going to some mufti, he's going to someone who he believes is a righteous person in his opinion and is asking for some kind of direction in life, and then he has to say that I'm on drugs, I can't seem to give it up. I'm in adultery and fornication, I can't seem to give it up. Or I've got the weakness of watching the porn sites and engaging in this sin or that sin. Then that is not only permissible, it is necessary, it is required. But there is no enjoyment that the person gets in that. And even the person who is listening to his problem must not get any kind of enjoyment and satisfaction that here I'm listening to some nice juicy gossip. Now many a times it is nothing but the person is enjoying listening to that. Therefore, the Shaykh Kamil will never look down upon a person who is informing about his weakness. It is just like the covering of the satar is farz, it's compulsory for the men folk from the navel up to the knee and the women the whole body. But now many a times they have to go and expose some part of the body before the doctor. Or the man has to go and expose some part of his body before the surgeon, which under normal conditions it is compulsory to cover. So at that time it is necessary. If the person is not going to do that, he's not going to be treated. So he must get no satisfaction in it. He too must think that, Ya Allah, I can't help it. If it had been within my means or in my power, then I would not have exposed these parts before the surgeon or the doctor. But it is for the purpose of treatment. And the doctor also realizes that this is not for enjoyment or for pleasure. If some woman has to come and show some part of her body, the doctor also has to be very, very careful that nafs and shaitan must not mislead him and misdirect him. How many doctors have been caught for sexual abuse? So therefore, both sides, there has to be this kind of a concern that it is out of necessity, and anything that is out of necessity must be limited to that extent. It mustn't go further than that. So therefore, I say to this young person that, of course, being ashamed of one's sins is a sign of iman. It's a sign that the person got iman. If he didn't have iman, will he be ashamed of sins? Those who haven't got iman, are they ashamed of the sins? There's no question of being ashamed. They can dance like monkeys anywhere, nobody's going to tell them anything. They can be seen anywhere, they can drink anything. They got no iman. So a sign of iman is that the person is ashamed of his sins. إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاعَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٍ. When your good deeds, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, when your good deeds give you happiness, and when your evil actions and deeds cause you hurt and pain and grief and sorrow, then that is the sign that you've got iman. So this young person is writing and he's saying that these are my weaknesses, so it's a sign of his iman. If he didn't have iman, he wouldn't have spoken about it. Of course, this does not mean that if you are ashamed of your sins, then secretly you must continue engaging and indulging in these sins. Now, the person who is saying that I am ashamed of my sins, so on the one hand, we will congratulate him that it's a sign of iman. But then, is that the only sign? What is the sign of a true mu'min? This is one of the signs that he is ashamed of his sins. But the sign of a true mu'min is that now he must give up that sin. If a person is ashamed of being seen in some kind of action before his parents, his family, his neighbors, society, then what does he do? He gives up that. He does not wish to be seen. So if he is so cautious and looking around that I must not be seen by my father, mother, ustad, teacher, Quran Sharif, hifz he did somewhere. Now if his ustad is sitting there, will he watch the porn sites? Will he do all the haram? So who is more seeing? Is the ustad more seeing? The parents have got more sight? The neighbors got more sight? Or it is Allah Ta'ala who has given us sight, who has got knowledge of everything that we are doing? So this person, now if he is ashamed, then he must give up that sin that he is talking about. You mentioned various weaknesses in your letter, and the root cause is definitely your indulgence in lustful gazes. Give this up and inshallah you will find an all-round improvement, because the person was really, really caught up in, he says, evil gazing and porn sites and this and that. Now he's going to do all that. So then all the other problems will arise. He'll have no enjoyment, as he was complaining, in his ibadah, in his zikr, in his tilawat, in his namaz. Now the person who has watched a lot of porn sites and he comes to namaz, when he's going to make Allahu Akbar, will the Kaaba Sharif come in his heart? When he's going to make Allahu Akbar, will he picture himself in front of Kaaba Sharif? Or will he picture himself in front of that same naked woman that he saw and came? How many people in their namazes, they are troubled by those pictures that they've been seeing outside. It is a major cause. Evil glancing does not bring any kind of satisfaction. It only increases the sickness of evil desires and passions. That's what it increases, nothing else. All the women that the person watches, or the woman watches all the handsome men, can they get everybody that they are seeing? What does it increase in the heart? Nothing but restlessness. And it brings a darkness in the heart. There comes a darkness in the heart. And because of that darkness now, there is no enjoyment. The person is reading Quran Sharif, but his mind is there. The person is making namaz, but his heart is there. The person is making zikr, but he is somewhere else. So therefore I state that evil glancing does not bring any kind of satisfaction. It only increases the sickness of evil desires and passions. So some courage will have to be adopted, but it is not really as difficult as nafs and shaitan will make it seem. All that is required is the himmat and the courage to lower the gaze, which you do have. Because the person who has the ability to raise his gaze can also lower the gaze. It is not that somebody is forcing or shaitan is pulling the person, tied him in chain and put him in front of that TV there or front of that internet site and said, now you must press these buttons and get onto this site. Was anybody chained like that and dragged and put there by shaitan? He did whatever he did with his own will. Therefore shaitan himself says, Hansi aati hai mujhe hazrate insaan par, guna karta hai khud, lanat bhejta hai shaitan par. Hansi aati hai mujhe hazrate insaan par, guna karta hai khud, lanat bhejta hai shaitan par. The only thing shaitan does is whispers. Say, why are you missing out on this? Sit down there, nobody is watching now. Press a few buttons and you'll be there. That's all he does, some whisperings. Now Allah Ta'ala has given us the antidote to that. Read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Amantu Billahi Wa Rusuli. Get away from there. Occupy yourself in something else. Think of something else. There are lots of ways that the person can avoid it if he wants to avoid it. Keep the door wide open. Take that computer and put it in a room where everybody is going past. And if the person is alone, then don't go there near it unless it's necessary to do some computer work. At that time, picture and imagine, what if the angel of death has to visit me now? With the door open. We'll come to that just now here. Fantasizing, as you have mentioned, is definitely haram. It is a betrayal even of your wife. The person is a married person. So he said, now you are betraying your wife also. That you are fantasizing about other women. It is totally haram and forbidden. Allah Ta'ala granted us the power of imagination for a beautiful purpose. But most people today utilize this imagination in filthy thoughts. The following is a prescription which I have given to many who have complained of the runaway imagination in respect to haram thoughts. Alhamdulillah, it has been a means of cure for many. May Allah Ta'ala make it a means of cure for you and all of us. Haram fantasizing is the spiritual disease of almost every person. It is abuse of the great, wonderful and amazing gift of imagination. That is what haram fantasizing does. Allah Ta'ala gave us imagination. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave us this gift, which is a unique gift. The person can be sitting here, but he can be in front of the Kaaba Sharif. He is sitting here, but he can be in front of the Rosa Mubarak. He is sitting here and he can be at Arsh. The person is sitting here and the person can be at Masjid Al-Aqsa. What a power Allah Ta'ala gave to imagination. You just close your eyes and picture yourself in front of the Kaaba Sharif, and especially those who have made Hajj or Umrahs or have been there. It's a very beautiful thought. A beautiful imagination. The person pictures himself, is going round and round the Kaaba Sharif. He is attached to the Multazam. Tears of regret and remorse are flowing from his eyes. The person is kissing the Hajre Aswad. He is behind the Muqam Ibrahim. He is in Arafat, he is in Mina, in Muzdalifah. Now all those beautiful sights and all the beautiful incidents that took place in his life whilst he was there. And those who haven't been there, who hasn't seen a picture of the Kaaba Sharif or the Rosa Mubarak? So the person, he can use his imagination and he can be there. So therefore this haram fantasizing is the abuse of this great and wonderful gift of imagination. The imagination has been given to us so that it may be used to ponder over the Quran Sharif, which entails stories of past nations. Nations of the past, their rise and their decline, the rise and fall. Imagine all that. Verses upon verses of Jannat and Jahannam and accountability. If the person takes one translation of the Quran Sharif and he reads the description that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives of Jannat, of paradise, then he will long to be in paradise. And when he reads of the description that Allah Ta'ala gives of the fire of Jahannam and the punishment and the chains and the, then the person will want to stay away from that so he can use his imagination. It is to be used for the purpose of taking lessons and strengthening our iman. It was to be used as a catalyst towards amal. The imagination was not given to us so that we may indulge in our nafs and filthy thoughts. One of the main reasons why both men and women have this problem plaguing them is due to their indulgence in lustful gazing. After having cast filthy gazes at ghair maharim, that is those who the person cannot marry, or watching porn movies or paging through the porn magazines or reading explicit romance novels, there is a desire and craving for more. That, as I have always explained, it is like the salt water of the ocean. That the more the person drinks, the more he wants. His thirst will never ever be quenched. You can show a person all the pretty women of the world, and you can show the woman all the pretty handsome men of the world. And after that, say, there's just one left now. Would you like to see that one? Say, definitely. Show me that one too. There's no satisfaction in the nafs. The nafs, the mizaj of the nafs is the mizaj of Jahannam, whether we like it or not. يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِمْ مَزِيدٍ. After everybody will be put into the fire of Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala will say, are you now full? Say, hal mim mazid, hal mim mazid, any more, send them inside here. Plenty of space here. So that is the mizaj of the nafs. The mizaj of Jahannam, the fire of Jahannam. And that's exactly the mizaj of the nafs, that you give it one sin, two sins, dozen sins, plenty of sins, and you ask now, are you full? The nafs will say, any more, any more, any more. It just doesn't get full. That is the mizaj of the nafs. Since more is generally then not possible, because this person could be a married person, or the object of one's desire is a film star or supermodel or Miss Universe or Mr. Universe, and there is zero chance of meeting that person. There are lots of times that the person is in love with some Miss Universe and Miss World, but will he get that Miss World? It's just like one person was saying that, I will be marrying the king's daughter. I will be marrying the princess. So I'm very, very happy and excited. So somebody asked him, that person like you, even your clothes are tattered and torn, you don't even have food in your house, rats are running around, and you want to marry the princess. He said, no, I'm happy to marry her now. The only thing is left from that side for her to be happy to marry me. She said, half the job is done, that I'm happy now with. So that's why I'm excited, because I'm very happy. So now will he get the... So there's zero chance of meeting that person. So now the person tries to satisfy his shahawat and desires by fantasizing, or the person will engage in other unnatural activities, and it is going to cause him great harm mentally, physically, and everywhere. You know what I'm referring to. That then causes a lot of harm and a lot of problems. So many students at the universities, colleges, in Darul Ulooms and other places, they all complaining, memories are gone, we can't seem to concentrate in the lessons in class, we go off to sleep while the Ustad is teaching, or in the school, university when the lectures are on, and I work, I burn the midnight oil, but at the end of the day I just can't seem to retain anything, and the back is aching, and the bladder is gone weak, and the pain in the... Now, the, so many complications and problems. So the Western society is not going to tell us about all these things. They are going to tell us there's enjoyment, you must enjoy yourself. And don't believe all what other Hakims say and others say. But now this is not what I am saying. Read what the Hakims have to say about all those problems. So from fantasizing, this is what it's going to lead to. So fantasizing is not going to satisfy the desire, it will increase the desire. The person's sickness will increase, his physical health will suffer. When the desire to indulge in haram comes into the heart, then take your imagination onto the day of judgment. stand before Allah Ta'ala's seat of judgment and begin accounting for all your actions in this world. Muh tujhko dikhana hai ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. So now the person imagines that if I'm going to indulge in this vice and evil now, then there's going to be a day of judgment. Now we are talking about the person who's really interested. If he's not interested, then you can bring Hakim Luqman's wisdom and give it to him, it's not going to help. If the person has made up his mind that I'm not going to listen, then can you make him make amal? So now here are these young people who are wanting to get out of this kind of sins. We say straight away now, if it is coming very strongly, the taqaza, as we say, then picture oneself, imagine oneself standing before Allah Ta'ala's seat of judgment and accounting for all actions in this world. Think, how will you account for and what will you say to Allah Ta'ala when these filthy thoughts will be presented to you? Everything will be presented. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. The gist of which is everything. Whatever the person has done, this book of deeds is not going to leave out anything. The person himself will say, what kind of book is this? Didn't leave out anything small or big, but it is recorded. Everything will be presented before the person. There's no denial. The person cannot deny, because the evidence will be produced by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself. So where can he deny? When Allah Ta'ala states in the Quran Sharif, when the scrolls are laid open, when the book of deeds will be opened out, وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. Then in another ayat of the Quran Sharif, the translation of which is, this our record speak about you with truth, so we were wont to put on record all that you did. Even though Allah Ta'ala is all-knowing and well aware of our actions, He has established a law whereby every action and every detail of every action will be recorded, is recorded, and it will be presented to us on the day of reckoning, in favor of us or witness against us. Otherwise, take your imagination to Hajj. Picture yourself at the Multazam, making tawaf, making sa'i. Picture yourself at the Rauza Mubarak, conveying salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or take your imagination to your qabr and the events which will unfold in the grave after death. Inshallah, this will be a means of defeating the nafs and shaitan, as well as obliterating a filthy habit. If you find yourself still weak against the demands of nafs and whisperings of shaitan, then immediately occupy yourself in something that is mubah and permissible. Converse with your parents, with your brothers, sisters, telephone some friend, visit a good pious friend, listen to some qiraat, listen to some dini talk. Now there's so much that a person can listen to, and especially in our time, there are so many radio stations now, there's so much of qiraat that is played, there's so much of waaz and bayan. I don't say listen to everything, because we don't condone everything that is taking place. There are lots of programs that I will say that definitely it is not Islamic. It is again Sharia. So the person must be selective, select whatever he thinks that it is according to the Quran and Sunnah and listen to it. Or get tapes of Qurras of the world which are available. Get beautiful Naat Sharifs. Something that the person can occupy his mind. One person said, well, it's impossible. How can you know, when your mind is there, how can you move it out from there? It's just something that you can't do. I said, there's no such thing. Then it means Allah Ta'ala made something farz which was not possible. I said, alright, what are you? He said, I'm an accountant. I said, alright, I will give you some calculation to do. And it's not going to be at 2,560,000 plus 2,395,000 like that. I will give you some simple calculation to do, and you give me the answer at the end of it. And just imagine that you are going to be getting a very, very big award at the end of the show, and after you have answered. I said, right, let's go. So I told him 2 + 3 + 9 + 4 + 6 + 7. Even a little child can calculate that and add. Now this accountant, what was it difficult for him? But I made a whole list of about 15 numbers, 16 numbers, or whatever it was. Another person, and I took it easy also. 2 + 3 plus 5, plus 7, plus 1. So the person has to even add the 1. At the end of it, I said, what's the total? Now he gave it to me. I said, now tell me that whilst I was saying 2 plus 3 plus 5 plus 6, did your mind go anywhere else besides that what I was telling you? It couldn't have gone anywhere else, because if he misses out one there, then finish, the whole total goes off. So it shows that when you focus your mind on one thing, then it cannot be equally focused on something else. It is a proof. I said, you have proven it yourself. I said, what were you concentrating on when I was saying 2, 3, 5, 7? He said, just on what you were going to say. That's all. So I said, that shows that whilst that the qaza is coming, the demand of the nafs, watch this, watch that, at that time, start doing some calculations, check your bank balances if you have anything there. But do something else, occupy your mind somewhere else, and finish the thing. After a little while, the taqaza will go away. But the moment you give in, as you heard yesterday, dil lagaya tha dil lagi ke liye, ban gaya rog zindagi ke liye. The person only took it for fun and enjoyment, as I've mentioned many times. Lots of people go to the sun coast, or they go to the wild coast, or they go to sun cities and sin cities and all these type of places. What they go for, they say, for the fun of it. They put 1 rand, 10 rand, 50 rand, and they say it's for the fun of it. We don't really gamble, but just for the fun of it. And then it becomes an addiction. The person then does not want to come out of it. The same with cigarettes, the same with drugs, the same with all these type of problems. Even though Allah Ta'ala is all-knowing, but this is what you will do, present it before us. If you find yourself still weak, then occupy yourself in anything that is mubah. Occupy yourself in that which is halal, otherwise nafs will ravage your heart and destroy your peace of mind, and it will lead to restlessness, anxieties and worries. Azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also is what you will get. The last thing is that consider these filthy thoughts as pigs. Thoughts will come, you can't stop thoughts. It is a national highway, as I always say, it's a national highway. And in a national highway, you can't stop the trucks, the buses, the scooters, the cars. And some of those trucks will be carrying ox, some will be carrying sheep, some will be carrying dogs, and some will be carrying pigs. But we've got no right to stop them there. They will go. Let them carry on. At the most, what we must do is accelerate. Put full speed, overtake that truck and carry on. That's all. As our women folk also, sometimes if there's some kind of truck like that in front, they'll say, just press the accelerator, overtake this, you don't want to see it. So those thoughts will come, but let them just go past. Don't entertain them. Don't lay the dastarkhan out. Don't lay the tablecloth and say, oh, you thoughts, how long I was waiting for you. You're most welcome. Have breakfast, lunch and supper with me before you leave. If a person is going to do that, so then he will be devoured by those thoughts. Instead of him giving them breakfast, lunch and supper, he will be devoured. So therefore, ignore those thoughts. People sometimes get very worried. Terrible thoughts are coming. Let those terrible thoughts come, but let them pass by. Put your mind onto something else. And if it is coming, but the person is not entertaining it purposely, then there is no sin at all. The Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they say sometimes such thoughts come in our minds that we would prefer burning to ash than that we bring it on our tongues. I mean, such kind of thoughts are coming about Allah, about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about Quran Sharif, about other things. Shaitan tries to whisper. He says, we would prefer we rather burn to ash, but we will not want to bring it onto our tongue. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Zaatuka ka sarihul iman. That is real iman. Where does a person go and break in? Will anybody go and break in into a shack in which there's nothing? When the person knows that there's nothing in that shack, then will he go with a whole 15-man squad with AK-47s and he says, I'm going to break into the shack and we're going to steal everything that's inside here? They won't do that. They will go into a shop or they will go into a place where there's a lot of goods or a lot of money or something that they feel is of value, then they will break in there. So like that, shaitan is not going to go and trouble the kuffar, the mushrikeen, Yahud and Nasara with evil thoughts. There's no question of troubling them with evil thoughts, because that is their life. It doesn't worry them. The person who is drinking, does he feel ashamed to drink? Or he's going to come and ask us, is it halal or haram? For him, it's nothing. He will commit adultery and will brag about it and advertise it. So for this Muslim, these thoughts which are coming, then that is a sign that there's iman there. If there was no iman, these thoughts wouldn't have come. Like that one lady said that, every time I make Allahu Akbar, it's like one idol comes in front of me and a whispering comes into my mind that you are worshipping me, I am your Lord. And she was like going nerves and mental wreck because of these type of thoughts. I said, you don't have to worry about it, just ignore it. Say, my Allah is one Allah and I am worshipping Him. You can do what you like. Therefore, in the read that book, Whisperings of Shaitan, that talk of mine, that sometimes you have to even back answer shaitan, but first look around. Otherwise they will send the person straight to the nearest asylum. Say, this man is a real chatak gaya today. But when you see nobody is around, then raise your voice. But if somebody is around, then in your mind, say, to hell with you, I am not going to listen to you. You are not my Allah. My Allah is one Allah who is all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. I worship Him alone. And all things lie with Him. He is my sustainer, cherisher, nourisher. You can whisper what you like. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not your banda. I'm the banda of Allah Ta'ala. Like when Allah Wala was sitting in Delhi near the Jami Masjid and he was saying, Tu mera khuda nahi, main tera banda nahi. To main teri baat kyun manu? You're not my Allah. And I'm not your banda. So why must I listen to you? Somebody passed by, they said that's kufr. Somebody said that's shirk. Somebody started giving fatwa of this and fatwa of that, and everybody was wanting to hit him. So one person asked him, what do you mean by this? He said, you look like the only sensible person that ever passed this way. All these people passed look like they got no sense at all. You are the first person, at least you're asking me now, what did I mean by it? So what I meant is that this nafs and shaitan worrying me, taking me towards some haram, whispering some haram into my heart. So I am talking to my nafs that you are not my Allah and I am not your banda. Why must I listen to you? Moreover, things that we think that besides the shame and modesty you should have in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, who is observing and watching your behavior, and there is no one and nothing that escapes his sight, hearing and knowledge. The angels too are witnessing the same. They are recording that your behavior of casting lustful gazes and engaging in extreme behaviors to satisfy the demands of the nafs, which is very immoral and unbecoming of a human being, and more so a Muslim blessed with ilm. That means the person must be ashamed that even the angels are watching. They are recording. And something that should bring even more shame upon us is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being informed of our actions every week. Imagine his disappointment and the tremendous hurt when he is informed that your ummati is spoiling his mind and heart and is darkening his soul with such despicable behavior. Ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you've got even the slightest love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would you like to cause him any kind of hurt and injury? And what was his hurt and injury? The kuffar, mushrikeen, Yahud, Nasara, what was causing him hurt? That they are rejecting a message which gives them peace, which offers them goodness of this world and the hereafter. Now when he is informed that this ummati for whom you cried so much, for whom so much you suffered, this ummati is spoiling his heart, is darkening his heart, engaging in such kind of despicable action. So think of the harm that you are causing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then what about standing before Allah Ta'ala and accounting for all the time spent in indulging in this evil? This great namat and bounty of time that you have been given. Time. They say time is gold. Time is not gold, time is life. Once it is gone, finish. Gold you can get back again. But life you cannot get back again. Every second that's gone is gone. ہو رہی ہے عمر مثل برف کم, چپکے چپکے رفتہ رفتہ دم بدم. Like a block of ice, it is melting away. So he said, think, what about that? Contemplate death. The angel of death does not give respite. اِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. So there will be no respite. Any sin is too much of a risk in the face of reality of death. Imagine if the angel of death has to visit you when you are looking at those porn sites, or when you are watching on the television those filthy movies, or when you are reading those romantic novels, or when you are at a prostitute quarters, or when you are in a rave club or disco or cinema or theater. What if the angel of death has to visit you there? And that is sufficient. If a person just has to think of that, it is sufficient. Wallah, believe me, many, many people who were finding it very difficult to give up their sins, but once they made muraqabah of this, that what if, as I always say, just ask ourselves only one question, that I've got a beard, I've got a kurta, I've got an Islamic garb, or I've got a Muslim name, or I'm recognized as a person with some Muslim organization, Muslim society, I'm a person that is known in the work of deen. And now what if, that's all. What if the death comes in that state? Look at the embarrassment upon oneself, the family, and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So a little contemplation on the consequences of your behavior, and a little bit of mujahada, which entails not doing. It doesn't mean doing, you just have to stay away. Alhamdulillah, the sickness will be cured. But you make the effort, otherwise your life will pass in darkness and sin. So as I said, that we have, there's a lot of other things that this person from one of the countries overseas wrote. And many local people are writing about the same problem. So therefore, as a standard reply now, or the gist of that is given to most of them. And I thought I'll bring it to your attention when we said that it will be Islahi questions and answers. Now the 45 minutes is about expiring. So we make dua. If we just take this one lesson today, it is sufficient. We don't have to know too much. We have to make amal on that which we know. Amal se banti hai zindagi, ye jannat bhi, jahannam bhi, ye khaki apni fitrat mein, na noori hai, na nari hai. Allah Ta'ala give me, give you and the ummah the tawfiq of amal. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Sattar al-Uyub, Ghaffar al-Zunub Allah. We are the most sinful servants on the surface of the earth. But my beloved Allah, you dearly like forgiveness of the sins of the sinners who turn towards you with repentance. We are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. Hum nadim hai, hum sharminda hai. My beloved Allah, we are not justifying any of our sins. We are not bragging about our sins. Indeed, we are the most sinful servants on the surface of this earth. But what we do know is that you dearly love the forgiveness of sins. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has informed us. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afafu anna ya kareem. Forgive our past sins, our future sins, our present sins. My beloved Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. Give us the himmat and courage of lions against our nafs. Nafs and shaitan want to drag us down the gutters of embarrassment, shame, disgrace and humiliation. Nafs and shaitan want to destroy the sukoon of our hearts. Ya Allah, nafs and shaitan do not want to see us prosper, does not want to see us build this bond and connection with you. My beloved Allah, protect us and safeguard us from the attacks of nafs and shaitan. Make us yours and become ours. Make us yours and become ours. Bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. Ya Allah, accept our fasting, our zikr, our tilawat, our ibadat, our duas. My beloved Allah, change the direction of our lives. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de, badal de dil ki duniya dil badal de, khudaya fazl farma dil badal de, khudaya fazl farma dil badal de. ہوا وہ حرص والا دل بدل دے، میرا غفلت میں ڈوبا دل بدل دے، بدل دے دل کی دنیا دل بدل دے، خدایا فضل فرما دل بدل دے، گنہگاری میں کب تک عمر کاٹوں، گنہگاری میں کب تک عمر کاٹوں، بدل دے میرا رستہ دل بدل دے. My beloved Allah, how long are we going to walk the path of sins? We are tired ourselves of the sins that we are committing day and night. Ya Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Come into our hearts, my beloved Allah. Cast your tajalli into our hearts. Remove the darkness of our hearts. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat and love, and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Ya Allah, so many are in hospitals, so many in clinics, in homes, amongst us who are sick and ailing. Give everyone shifa from spiritual ailments and physical ailments. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal and remove the difficulties. My beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا وَشَفِيعِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ